Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientus Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. A warm welcome to those who have joined us this evening in the church auditorium, on the listen line, and those who have connected via Zoom. The members of this church pray for and expect healing. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 148. This is a second verse. Wherever he may guide me, no want shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom ever waketh, his sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. Hymn number 148. The Bible, Isaiah. The Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Genesis. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, as God had commanded. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Isaiah. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Exodus. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. Psalms. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Mark. Jesus began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sin should be forgiven them. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. There came then from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Psalms. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Matthew. Seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Proverbs. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. As adherents of truth, we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life. I have set forth Christian Science and its application to the treatment of disease just as I have discovered them. I have demonstrated through mind the effects of truth on the health, longevity, and morals of men, and I have found nothing in ancient or in modern systems on which to found my own, except the teachings and demonstrations of our great master and the lives of prophets and apostles. The Bible has been my only authority. I have had no other guide in the straight and narrow way of truth. My discovery that erring, mortal, misnamed mind produces all the organism and action of the mortal body set my thoughts to work in new channels and led up to my demonstration of the proposition that mind is all and matter is not as a leading factor in mind science. The lame, the deaf, the dumb, the blind, the sick, the sensual, the sinner, I wished to save from the slavery of their own beliefs and from the educational systems of the pharaohs who today, as of yore, hold the children of Israel in bondage. I saw before me the awful conflict, the Red Sea, and the wilderness, but I pressed on through faith in God, trusting truth, the strong deliverer, to guide me into the land of Christian Science, where fetters fall and the rights of man are fully known and acknowledged. I hope, dear reader, I am leading you into the understanding of your divine rights, your heaven-bestowed harmony, that as you read, you see there is no cause outside of erring, mortal material sense, which is not power, able to make you sick or sinful. And I hope that you are conquering this false sense. Knowing the falsity of so-called material sense, you can assert your prerogative to overcome the belief in sin, disease, or death. Though demonstrating his control over sin and disease, the great teacher by no means relieved others from giving the requisite proofs of their own piety. He worked for their guidance, that they might demonstrate his power as he did and understand its divine principle. Jesus sent forth 70 students at one time, but only 11 left a desirable historic record. Tradition credits him with 200 or 300 other disciples who have left no name. Many are called, but few are chosen. They fell away from grace because they never truly understood their master's instruction. Jesus demonstrated Christ. He proved that Christ is the divine idea of God, the Holy Ghost or Comforter, revealing the divine principle, love, and leading into all truth. Our Master said, "But the Comforter shall teach you all things." When the science of Christianity appears, it will lead you into all truth. The Sermon on the Mount is the essence of this science, and the eternal life, not the death of Jesus, is its outcome. The divine demand, "Be ye therefore perfect," is scientific, and the human footsteps leading to perfection are indispensable. Individuals are consistent who, watching and praying, can run and not be weary, walk and not faint, who gain good rapidly and hold their position, or attain slowly and yield not to discouragement. God requires perfection, but not until the battle between spirit and flesh is fought and the victory won. To stop eating, drinking, or being clothed materially before the spiritual facts of existence are gained step by step is not legitimate. When we wait patiently on God and seek truth righteously, he directs our path. Imperfect mortals grasp the ultimate of spiritual perfection slowly, but to begin aright and to continue the strife of demonstrating the great problem of being is doing much. Spiritual sense, contradicting the material senses, involves intuition, hope, faith, understanding, fruition, reality. Material sense expresses the belief that mind is in matter. This human belief, alternating between a sense of pleasure and pain, hope and fear, life and death, never reaches beyond the boundary of the mortal or the unreal. When the real is attained, which is announced by science, joy is no longer a trembler, nor is hope a cheat. Spiritual ideas, like numbers and notes, start from principle and admit no materialistic beliefs. Spiritual ideas lead up to their divine origin, God, and to the spiritual sense of being. It should be thoroughly understood that all men have one mind, one God and Father, one life, truth, and love. Mankind will become perfect in proportion as this fact becomes apparent. War will cease, and the true brotherhood of man will be established. Having no other gods, turning to no other but the one perfect mind to guide him, man is a likeness of God, pure and eternal, having that mind which was also in Christ. As the children of Israel were guided triumphantly through the Red Sea, the dark ebbing and flowing tides of human fear, as they were led through the wilderness, walking wearily through the great desert of human hopes and anticipating the promised joy. So shall the spiritual idea guide all right desires in their passage from sense to soul, from a material sense of existence to the spiritual, up to the glory prepared for them who love God. Stately science pauses not, but moves before them, a pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night, leading to divine heights. Let's join together for a few moments of silent prayer, followed by the audible repetition of the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Let's sing our next hymn number 166. This is the third verse. Haste thee on from grace to glory, armed with faith and winged with prayer. Heaven's eternal day before thee, God's own hand shall guide thee there. Hymn number 166. This church is a branch of the Mother Church, the first Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts. Sunday services are held here at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school is held at the same time for children up to the age of 20. Child care is lovingly provided for those too young for Sunday school. The discovery today, Where Hearts Catch Fire, is the theme of this year's upcoming annual meeting. This year's annual meeting will be held on Monday, June 5th at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time in the Mother Church Extension. If you are attending in person, you are encouraged to register by May 25th. For more information, including how to attend online, go to carmelcs.org and click on the Events tab. This is now your time to share experiences, testimonies, or remarks on Christian Science. If you have joined via Zoom this evening and wish to share, unmute yourself and then remember to mute yourself when you are finished. If you are in the church auditorium and wish to share, just give the usher a wave and someone will bring you a microphone.
Thank you for your lesson. I really like the way that the guiding and the leading go hand in hand with listening and watching. And your lesson really brought that out nicely. I really appreciate that because you have to be listening to recognize what's where you're supposed to go and where you're supposed to be. And I really like that angle. I had an experience today that demonstrated that. I went to Muncie today to visit my sister. Her son and his wife were coming back from LA back to New York, and they're involved in making commercials, and she does writing of shorts, and they do production of just different people's advertising needs, not necessarily just in commercial, but I mean in film, but could be just audio. But anyway, I had the thought, I had gone through closets and I found all these empty CD and DVD things that I had moved to the new house and we hadn't used them because we don't need them anymore. We don't seem to be, I used to put a lot of my pictures and stuff on CDs and I'm not doing that anymore. So I decided to get rid of that. And then I had a bunch of CDs, a whole stack of them that had never been burned. So I thought, well, I'll take those to Muncie to see if he or she could use those. I didn't know if there would be something that would be useful for them. And the thing of it is, I did the cleaning out of the closets like 3 weeks ago. And for that to come to mind today, it was something because I wasn't even thinking in that direction. And it was a God thing. That's all there was to it. So I took the stuff to Muncie, and I asked Alex if he would like to keep this or if he had any use for it. Otherwise, I was going to take it to Goodwill and just give it to them. And he said, "Sure, I might need it." He said, "I'm a pack rat." So he opens up one of the DVD holders, and there is a burned CD in it. It's not empty. And it was my son John had gone through all of our VHS tapes and had put all of our movies on digital on CD on DVDs for us. And I said, "Oh my goodness, I didn't realize there was anything in some of these." So, and I mean, I had a whole stack of them. And so I said, "Well, I need to look through some more of those and see if there are any more in there." And so we took them in the house and we found two more that were in there. So I was so grateful that I hadn't lost those movies and all the taping of them. And was when you were doing your lesson, I thought, oh, this is such a perfect example of how God guides us into the right idea. It's not anything terrifically earth-shaking or anything like that, because God can guide us into lots of more meaningful things. But to me, it was a demonstration of God's guidance. So thanks.
Thank you for the readings from the desk. I too had an opportunity this last weekend to use many of the thoughts you mentioned today, guidance, God's grace. And so I just tell you a couple of them. So Sunday I was planning on going to Crown Point to visit their Crown Point Church. And Thursday or Friday of last week, the assigner for our games sent out a note saying that she needed somebody to go to Northern Indiana for games in South Bend on Saturday and then Munster on Sunday. And Munster is just, you know, 20 miles or so from Crown Point. And so I texted her back and I said, well, I'm planning on being at Crown Point on Sunday. And she didn't believe me. She thought I was joking with her. And I said, no, I'm planning on attending the Crown Church, at the Crown Point Church. And they actually moved their game back 45 minutes so that I could attend the church and then go to the three games that I needed to go to up there. And you also mentioned in your lesson, see if I can remember, run and not be weary and walk and not faint. On Saturday, I ran almost 9 miles, or moved, I better not say ran, that's the wrong term. I moved about 9 miles, and then on Sunday, it was just over 8. So together, I moved for 17 miles on those 2 days, and I was very amazed at how well I could get out of the car after the 2.5-hour drive when I got home. So once again, his grace and his guidance do a lot of wonderful things. But then the other one, which was just such a simple demonstration, but was really his grace that was showing through. I got up Sunday morning and I didn't seem to sleep very well because the walls were so thin and you could hear all the partying going all around you. But I got up, went to a Dunkin' Donuts for breakfast, and I used my Apple Pay. So that means I have to take the magnetic strip off my phone and set it aside to use the Apple Pay part of it. And then I got to the Crown Point Church, and I sat in the car and listened to the first reader read for, you know, 20 minutes before I went into church. And then when I got up to get in the church, I noticed that my phone didn't have that, my credit cards and so on the back of it. And my first thought was, oh no, I really started to panic. And then I just heard this voice that said, be still, you're in your right place, and it's in its right place, and it can wait till after church. So I went in and talked to the people at church, and halfway through church, I heard Shirley say, you know, it's in the abyss in the car. You know, you have those places that everything just falls. And I'm like, how did that get there? So I didn't worry too much about it. Went out to the car after church, and sure enough, it had fallen down underneath the seat in the abyss, and it was right where it needed to be. I never panicked. I didn't have any concern, and it was right where it needed to be. And then the last one is, I'm still working through some issues with running on grass and things like that when I referee games. Materially speaking, they seem to be harder on my ankles than just a normal turf or something like that. And so I said that to Shirley tonight before I left for the game. And she looked at me, and once again, this is God's grace. She said, you know, God created the grass also. Christian Science is a wonderful way of life, and I love every moment.
Thank you.
Thanks for the readings tonight. Enjoyed the Beatitudes and all the rest. Just a couple of comments. In the lesson this week in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but renew your mind through transformation, etc. It's a paraphrase. In Mrs. Eddy's Bible, she wrote in the margin of that quotation from Romans 12, this is Christian Science. Be not conformed to this world, but renew your mind. I thought that was outstanding when I heard that. The other thing I heard this weekend when I attended Association, the speaker was talking about J. Iris's daughter's healing that you had in your readings tonight. And she said, Jesus did three things that are in every Christian Science treatment. Those three things are, the first thing he said, be not afraid. Number two, only believe. And at the end, I don't think you mentioned that part, but he said he presented the daughter alive and well. You are well, you know. So those three things, I thought that was pretty interesting. And that when you think of it, those, the first thing that we need to conquer is the fear of the situation. Then believe on the law that we know that is true. And then the demonstration is you are well. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for your readings. And Kent made me think of, it's just a real little thing, but it was, I was just really grateful. It wasn't about running 17 miles, but it was a little bit of running. I had gone to spend a few days or so with my grandchildren in St. Louis, helping out my daughter and her husband. And it was the second day I was there, and it was Sunday afternoon, and the kids were going out to, in the street to play. They live like on a cul-de-sac kickball with the neighbor kids. And so I was just kind of watching from the door, from the window. And then, you know, I don't get to see them real often when they don't live in town. So I just, you know, I put on my jacket and went out there. And then all of a sudden I go up and I'm just playing. And it, I think it just kind of came because a long time ago when I used to teach PE, I played kickball all the time. I didn't know what else to do, and the kids loved it, and it was a really small school. And I didn't really think much about it. But then when I came up to kick, first I thought, oh, well, I can't run, because for a year or so or more, whatever, I can walk fine, swim, all of that, bike, but that's then a challenge because of some issues. But I just remember quickly just letting that go and just putting God in charge. And I ran to the bases and did it a few times. And it was just really fun. And I was just really, really grateful just to know that whatever we need to do and whatever kind of helps connect us with our grandchildren, it's God doing the work, and we're reflecting. And then my granddaughter, when we were back in the house, it was the youngest one, and she came up to me in private and she said, Nana, I don't know any other grandma that can kick a ball and run and play kickball. And it just made me smile. And, you know, sometimes when your grandkids don't live in town, you kind of, you maybe don't see them as much as you'd like. You maybe sometimes it come in my head, well, I wonder if, you know, I got to going to connect with them. Okay. You know, and it just made me right then realize God does that. We just listen and do what comes to us, and God takes care of the rest. And then the next day I went to lunch with her, did lunch with one grandchild one day and the other the next. And then I went out to recess with her, and there are some kids playing kickball, and she yells to them, hey, can we play? My grandma's really good at kickball. And once again, it just totally unexpected that this would even happen, but I was just so grateful. So thank you for your readings again.
Thank you. I have a short testimony I would like to share. This testimony was originally published in German, and this is from the May 8th, 2023 issue of the Christian Science Sentinel, the one that came out this week. Painful knee healed. In the winter of 2021-2022, my right knee began to hurt more and more with each passing day and became swollen so that I could bend it only with a great deal of pain. Feeling I was at the mercy of the situation, I decided to engage a Christian Science practitioner for help through prayer. The first thing the practitioner told me was that we don't bow down to a false god, a mental suggestion of discord, but rather to what God, divine love, knows. With this encouragement, I clung to the fact that all feeling and movement emanate from God. It's not that God moves my limbs or organs or keeps them operating, but that he governs all the functions that characterize me as his beloved spiritual idea. These functions represent qualities such as pliability, suppleness, and stability. I began to understand that pain has nothing to do with me. The less I focused on the sense or suggestion of a painful and swollen knee, and the more I expanded my view spiritually, the more clearly I recognized that the universe is not fragmented, consisting of either warring individuals or overtaxed and inflamed matter. Rather is a complete system of ideas that function in peaceful relation to each other, governed by harmony. As I took this view, I found that I was calmer, and my interactions with other people became more peaceful in my family, at work, and at church. While I was catching up on the news, anger and blame yielded to the understanding that when we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6:12, we're not actually battling other people, since all are in actuality children of God. We're only putting down false beliefs that evil could be at work anywhere or in anyone. As stress and mental flare-ups abated, my knee returned to normal. Soon, I could resume the activities I enjoy, such as extensive hiking and cycling without any limitation. I'm very grateful for this healing, for the practitioner's loving spiritual support, and especially for the increased ability I've gained to bow down only to God, not to people or circumstances. This testimony is submitted by Hans, who lives in Switzerland.
I just wanted to express gratitude first for your readings and then also for Christian Science lectures, and of course especially the one we had here recently, and then the one that was at Fifth Church a couple of weeks ago. The day before that lecture, I woke up and I didn't even realize it at first, but then when I looked in the mirror, I had this horribly bloodshot eye, which I never experienced before. At first I thought it was this contagious eye disease that kids sometimes get. It turns out I mentioned it to a friend and it wasn't. It was, so that was good, but that's kind of beside the point. The point was the next day was the lecture, and I decided to go ahead and go to the lecture. It wasn't painful, it was just not attractive. And at the lecture, one of the things she said, and I mentioned this to Sharon last week, is the lecturer took this quote from Mrs. Eddy, the admission to oneself that man is God's own likeness sets man free to master the infinite idea. And I felt like she was treating the whole audience when she said, so to me, one of the things that says the admission to myself that you are God's own likeness sets you free to master the infinite idea. And that just hit me, and I thought, you know, that's your healing. And, you know, sure enough, as I say, the situation cleared up within another day or two. But I was just really grateful for that treatment that I felt like she gave the whole group that was there. Anyway, thank you again.
Thank you.
Just real quickly, I'm so grateful to be here and so grateful to hear all these testimonies. And I love the ideas that lesson expressed. It's always just the listening and the leading, and always that's to me what a treatment is. And our lecture And thank you so much for reminding me of this, Sally. I totally had forgotten this. It was really amazing to me at the moment. But when the night of our lecture, as I was getting ready, all of a sudden my eyes started to burn. And I couldn't keep my eyes open. And I washed them off and kind of washed off the eye makeup on that I had, you know, just a little bit of mascara. And still it was just burning. And so I went ahead, you know, of course, proceeded with the evening's activities and picking up a friend and coming to church and being a part of the evening. And still, even as I entered to sit down and listen to the lecture, I could hardly, you know, keep my eyes open to see the lecture. And she began. And in an instant, I mean, it wasn't like gradually or just sort of or kind of. It just in an instant, it was gone. And it was just like somebody had clapped their hands. And I was just amazed. It was just over. And I was able to hear every single word of the lecture just totally free of being distracted and concerned and feeling uncomfortable. And the truth is so powerful. Be set free was, of course, you know, what was happening in everyone's heart and in so many different ways and continues to happen. But in that moment, I certainly was set free and I was so grateful.
Thank you. And thank you all. Let's close our service with hymn number 9. This is the third verse. O longing hearts that wait on God through all the world so wide, He knows the angels that you need and sends them to your side to comfort, guard, and guide. Hymn number 9.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.